reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading is found in your pew Bibles in the book of Deuteronomy, page 227. And we read Deuteronomy 34, verses 1 through 12. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negeb and the plain, that is, the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as Zoar. And the Lord has said unto him, This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite to Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants, and to all his land. And for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 3. It's found on page 1285, and we read Hebrews 3, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who is faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1109, and we read Luke 9, beginning at verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory, and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. If you wouldn't mind taking your Bibles back out and turn to page 398, 2 Kings chapter 6. It is normally my custom to preach on the lessons for today, but I thought this lesson might be appropriate for the occasion of the Transfiguration, and hopefully you'll see why in a few minutes. This isn't a lesson we normally come across. It's not, I believe, in any of the assigned readings for Series A, Series B, Series C, which we use in our worship services. And I don't remember coming across this during Sunday school lessons or vacation Bible school either. But it's an interesting account of Scripture and the life of Elisha and one of his servants. The background for this lesson is Elisha has been God's conduit for feeding information to the king of Israel to protect his kingdom. And the king of Syria, who was wanting to invade Israel, was being upset at all of his defeats. And he learned that it was because of Elisha, and so he wanted to capture and kill Elisha. When he found out where he was, he went to his city, which was in Dothan. And we pick it up around verse 14. So he sent their horses and chariots and a great army. And they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. Imagine yourself waking up in the morning. And you go out, and wherever you're living, a huge army, modern-day tanks and artillery, show up around your house. How does that make you feel if you woke up to see a sight like that? Well, I'm sure this servant of Elijah felt that same way. And the servant said, Alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, and this is Elisha, Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Okay, so you see these great armies gathered around you, and you're naturally afraid, and you go to Elisha the prophet, and you say, What shall we do? And he says, Oh, not a problem. We got more than they do. And you say to him something like, Yeah, right. And you're in utter disbelief of
what you're hearing.
You think maybe Elisha is getting a little too old. Maybe he's getting a little senile. Does he not understand what is going on? And then we get to verse 17. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Wouldn't have that been cool? Oh, to be that servant. And to have your eyes opened. Yeah, you heard the words of Elisha, but now you can see what he's talking about. And your fear has disappeared. And it's been replaced by awe and wonder. And you're thinking to yourself, those poor Syrians, they don't stand a chance. I thought I'd share that with you this morning because I think it maybe illuminates also a little bit what John and James and Peter must have felt like when they were on that mountain with our Lord. They perhaps thought they'd just gone up to be with him while he prayed. They were tired, they'd fallen asleep. And then they wake up and they see Christ in his real and true glory. Yes, they'd seen his miracles. They knew he was something special and incredible. And yet they still didn't have any real idea of the glory that was hidden within him. But they not only see Jesus in the fullness of his glory, they see Moses and Elijah. They see, if you will, what we will be. And that too is incredible. You know, one of the questions that I get asked again and again throughout all of my ministry, especially when people's lives are on this earth are going to be short, when a loved one has passed away, people question me, Pastor, what exactly does happen to us when we die? In one sense, I can tell you it. But if you can place yourself on that mountain with Jesus, how much better it is to look upon it yourselves. There with Jesus is Moses. Note that the text and all the accounts, be it Matthew, Mark, or Luke, never says, and there the soul of Moses was with Jesus. Or the spirit of Moses was with Jesus. It just says Moses and Elisha. There they were, alive, in their resurrected glory. Along with Jesus, who had not died yet. It was the real Jesus, the one with flesh and bones. Yeah, he looked different. As we're going to look a little different when all the marks of sin in our lives are taken away, when our bodies are refreshed and renewed to the way that God originally created them, when the possibility of death of our human flesh is no longer possible, nor pain, nor sorrow. Yeah, we're going to look a little different when all that stuff is removed from us. But we'll still be who we are. Just as Jesus was who he was, Moses was who he was, Elijah was who he was. Now, Moses, as we learned in our Old Testament lesson for today, died and was buried. But there he is. Elijah, on the other hand, never died, never was buried. The end of his days on earth was when a fiery chariot from heaven came down and literally picked him up and brought him into heavens. And there he is, next to Jesus. But there is no distinction. Whether you're died or buried or immediately taken up into heaven, you're still just you. A glorified you, but you nonetheless. So if you've ever wondered, so exactly what does happen to me? What will happen to my loved one? Or what has happened to them? Go to the Mount of Transfiguration. And there you can see. And yeah, we don't know quite exactly what that glorified self looks like. But what a comfort it brings to know that we will still be living, but living in a far more glorious way than we have ever yet experienced life. And when we see that with our own eyes, it changes the way that we look upon life in this world. The same way that also that servant of Elisha was suddenly changed when he could see what he had been told. You know, there's an old saying that seeing is believing. But when it comes to the Word of God, what we hear in the words, we can trust, is going to be what we will one day see. And that is why when we experience troubles on earth, when it seems, if you will, that the enemies have gathered around us and encamped, like there's no way out of our troubles and our distress, we don't need to be afraid, because we know that the ending is going to be glorious. Yeah, we can't see it with our eyes yet, but it has been guaranteed to us in the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He bids us fear not. He tells us don't worry. Because he has surrounded us with his holy angels. The world will always be doing its best to strike fear in our hearts. But because of the victory he won on the day of his resurrection, the world is already defeated. And we need not fear. There yet awaits a day when we will see this with our own eyes. But whenever you hear the promises of God in Scripture, be assured that those promises are sure and trustworthy. And that the glory that he promises to those who trust in him is the glory that we will one day share in. No matter what this world does to us, no matter how it rages, the victory will be ours. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.